Praise the Lord for His grace and mercy unto us. Message number two, the title of the message, The Rule of the Church Authority, Part 2. We will get this teaching from the book of Exodus, chapter 18, and we will read from verse 13 to verse 26. The next day Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people, and they stood around him from morning till evening. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, "What is this you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge, while all these people stand around you from morning till evening?" Moses answered him, "Because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and laws." Moses' father-in-law replied, "What you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to Him. Teach them the decrees and laws, and show them the way to live and the duties they are to perform. But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Have them serve as judge. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you. The simple cases they can decide themselves. They will make your load lighter, because they will share it with you. If you do this and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain, and all these people will go home satisfied." Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. He chose capable men from all Israel and made them leaders of the people, officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. They served as judges for the people at all times. The difficult cases they brought to Moses, but the simple ones they decided themselves. Father, we thank you and we praise you for your word, for your goodness, your faithfulness. Thank you for this time you give us. We bless your holy name. O Lord, we do pray in the name of Jesus. You anoint the message, anoint my lips, and arrange it in the way that you want it to be, O God. I pray the message will bring wisdom and broaden the understanding of your people, O God, and bring help and direction, O God, and give impression what is the church all about and what is the rule of church leadership and authority, O God, and what you have, why you had to place church on earth. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that your message will bring help, hope, healing, assurance, wholeness, wisdom, and Lord, we pray you take the message with the power of the Holy Spirit and bring it, O God, to those people who are waiting to hear your word. And I pray that the message will bring teaching and sound doctrine and understanding for your church and your people. This is all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What is the role of church leadership, and why God put church on earth? And what is the responsibility of the church? And what is the responsibility of the church leader? Why God put church, and why God put leader in the church, and why, what they need to do? Today, from this scripture, we're going to pick up words, and from them we describe the function of the church leadership and what is the church all about. We took it from the book of Exodus, where Moses has sat down to judge the people, to decide between their parties and their disputes. Verse 13 says, the next day Moses took his seat to serve as judge. The church leader is like a judge. When you go to court, there is somebody who is responsible to decide between the dispute of the people. There are laws he follows and he has authority. You cannot speak up without his permission. And that is the church leader. He is the authorities of God that he put. And he should serve wholeheartedly. And he should serve honestly. And he should follow the word of God. The judge, we know very well, it's a very crucial job. If you do it well, without compromising, he served God and he served the people. And he is an honest man, and justice will prevail, and everyone will go home taking his rights, and no one will do wrong because they know there is a court and there is a judge. Why there is court? Why there is judge? Because people, they have dispute. They bring their dispute to the judge, and the judge will decide between their disputes and will teach them the right way that they need to do. The church leaders is a judge to show the people and help them to know what is right and what is wrong. The responsibility of the church is to teach the people what is godly and what is ungodly, and teach them to differentiate between the holy and the common. As we have the word of God in Ezekiel chapter 44 verse 23, speak about the responsibility of the priest or the pastor or the church leader. The word of God says, they are to teach my people the difference between the holy and the common, and show them how to distinguish between the unclean and the clean. While Moses was sitting as a judge, his father-in-law Jethro, he noticed him. When he noticed that the people coming to him from morning till evening and he was alone, he told him, what you are doing is not right. He asked him first. In verse 14, what is this you are doing for the people? In verse 15, Moses answered him, because the people come to me to seek God's will. Here we will find another rule of the church leader. And what is the responsibility of the church? The church is not responsible to give people jobs or to give them money or to provide for them transport or food or accommodation. We may do that, but the prime responsibility of the church and the church leader is to let the people to know God's will. The people should come to the church, and the church should teach them God's will. Moses say, people come to me to seek God's will. We are responsible to teach the people God's will. It is one part to know God's will. The other part is to do it. Many people, they don't know God's will. We are responsible before God to let them know God's will, explain to them God's will. And as they go and do God's will, there they will find God's provision, God's help, jobs, wives, husbands, families, resources, solution to their troubles. That is our responsibility. How we do it? Verse 16, when they have dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and laws. Life is full of troubles and disputes. the responsibility of the church leadership and authority of the church. It is to care for the people. The people will come facing troubles and difficulty and disputes in their life. They will come to us, they are having struggle. We need to listen to them. And they need to open up to us everything, all the things that is hidden. And then when we listen to the dispute, how we can help them? We help them by informing them about the God's decrees and laws. We open the Bible, Moses opened the Word of God and tell them what God says, the same for us. We need to open the Bible to them. The church leadership, church authority should use the Bible, the Word of God, to tell the people and inform them about God's will. And then from the Word of God, they will lead them to the right decision. We are responsible not only to teach the people and inform them. We need to help the people to decide, to take the right decision. And this right decision will help the people to solve their problems and to lead them to be delivered from troubles and dispute. In verse 16, it says, whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties. So, we are the authorities that the Lord had ordained for the church to help the people to decide between their disputes. This is all our function. It added to the church leader. He is a judge. He is responsible to inform the people God's will and help them to do it. He is the one to decide between the parties. He is the one to decide and solve problems. And he is the one to inform the people. The church leader and the church, they are the one who are responsible to inform the people of God's decrees and God's laws. When Moses' father-in-law saw that, and when he heard what Moses say, in verse 17, Moses' father-in-law replied, "What you are doing is not good." This is not what he is doing is not good as a function. But since he was alone, he is not able to cope with all that pressure. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. There is need for more than one Moses in the congregation. There are more people than have to be there so that they can do God's work. The church is expanding, and the church leader should look for other people. He is the one responsible to raise up other people. And that's what we're going to discuss later on. Verse 19, "Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. You must be the people representative before God and bring their disputes to Him." Another function of the church leader and the responsibility of church leadership and authority is that the leader is the representative, is the people representative before God. He is the delegate of the people before God. He hears the problem of the people and he brings that problem toward God. He presents the case to God. He gives it to the Lord, and the Lord will give him the answer, and he will bring the answer to the people. So that is another function of the church leadership. They are the one responsible to hear the people's problem, present that problem to God, and listening to God about His answer, and He bring the solution to them. In many occasions, Moses, having battled with cases and problems, he does not know the solution at once. God's word was not clear to him. He present the case to God, and when God listened to it, He gave him His reply. And as Moses received the reply of God, He gave it to the congregation. More about church leadership. Verse 20, Exodus 18, verse 20. Say, teach them the degrees and laws, and show them the way to live, and their duties are to perform. So the church leader and authority, they are the one responsible to teach the degrees and the laws of God. The Lord say, go and make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. The responsibility of the church is to teach the people God's laws and God's degrees. Church is not the place for fun. It's not the place for parties. It's not the place for function and performance. It's not a place for worldliness. It's the place that the people, they come to be taught and to be disciplined with the ways and the laws and the degrees of God. Church leader, he should teach the people the ways and the degrees and the law of God. In addition, and show them the way to live. Church is responsible before God to show the people the way to live, the way to work, the way to pray, the way to do ministry, the way to marry, the way to find out the suitable partner, the way how to evangelize, the way how to care for the children, the way how to manage their finances, the way how to deal with the problems, the way how to handle the enemies, the way how to handle each and every life issue and problem. That is the responsibility of the church, to show the people the way to live, in addition, and the duties they are to perform. We have to define and to put between brackets the duties that each and every person in the community of the believer should function. Every Christian, he have responsibility and duties toward God. In the prayer, reading the Bible, in the praising God and serving the Lord, and giving tithes and offering. Every Christian have responsibility toward his family, how to be a good father, how to be a good husband, how to be a good wife, and what is your responsibility to be a good mother, and how to be godly children, and how to be godly parents, and how to be a good member of the church, and what is your responsibility and your duties toward the church, your duties and your responsibility toward the job that God has given you, your duties and your responsibility toward the society and the country that you live in, to pray for the leaders, to pray for the lost, to evangelize, to help the society in what you have, to make life of the people better in order that you can able to bring to them the gospel. These are all the duties. The church should declare it to the members of the church and teach them all these things. Verse 21. But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men, who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as official over thousands, hundred, fifties, and tens. The other responsibility of the church here, the other responsibility of the leader here, he should be able to raise up other leaders, because the church is expanding, and the work of God is expanding, and he must raise up other people who would help him to care for the new souls and new believers and the new flocks and new congregations that the Lord is adding to a church. And that's our responsibility. When we teach and discipline the people, at the end we need to raise up and we need to select. He says select. We need to select people. Jesus select. After a prayer and training, he selected 12. And he selected and he sent the 72. And also the apostle, they make disciples, and they and they send them to do the work. Paul also make disciple, and he said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 2, "And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust them to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others." We need to select reliable men. They have to be trustworthy, who hate dishonest gain. They are not after money or power or other agenda or wrong motive in service. They are trustworthy people who fear God, reliable people who are able to stand, who are not willing to compromise, and give them the responsibility. Entrust them with their ministry. Entrust them with the new people. Entrust them with people who are not committed to God, so they will teach them and guide them and help them to be a disciple of the Lord. The same in the book of Acts. Book of Acts chapter 6 verse 1 to 7, when there are more responsibility on the apostle, and there was need for people to wait on tables and to distribute food and breads to the people and to the widows, and the apostles have no more time to pray and to preach the word. They decided to select capable men so that they can carry the responsibility and commission them, so they don't need to do that. They need to do other things. Verse 1 to 7, Acts chapter 6, verse 1 to 7. In those days, when the number of the disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them, and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Stephen, we have a problem here. They have a problem here for administrative problem. They choose a capable man. Men full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, like Stephen, and also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. Those people, they are full of the Holy Spirit and full of wisdom. They turn a responsibility, they turn an administrative responsibility to them. So there is a need to select people. As the church is expanding, as we are teaching and we are making disciples, out of those who are fully committed, those who fear God, those who are filled with the Holy Spirit, those their heart are set to who are set to serve God, we need to select among them capable people so that the work of God will continue. We can continue concentrate to teach the word, a life of a prayer to pray for the church and those who are under our care, and the church will be expanded. In verse 7, after that action was taken by the church, so the word of God spread. The number of the disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. 3 results have taken out of that decision. First, rapid spread of the word of God, more rapid evangelism. Second, number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly. There is large number of discipleship process was taking place. Third, priests, they come to faith. Hard people, those people. Those are the leaders of the Jews. Now they come to faith after that action was taken by the early church. Here, the concentration is to select people. Other responsibility of church leadership, to select capable people. People who are fearing God, people who are committed to the Lord. The church should discern and should select them and appoint them so that the church will be expanded and more care, more pastoral care, more shepherd care, more watch over, more accountability, more service will be given from the Lord through the church to the new believer. 1 Timothy chapter 3, we will speak here about what are the criteria when we choose a church leader for a congregation or to lead a certain people to do God's work. What are the criteria that we are looking in that person? 1 Timothy chapter 3 is speak about to, how to select overseer and how to select a deacon. This all a responsibility to do teaching and to do discipleship, and a deacon is to do administrative function in the church. It is a trustworthy saying, if anyone set his heart on being an overseer, he desires a noble task. Now the overseer must be above reproach. People should be above reproach to do pastoral care. The husband of but one wife, no divorce, no second wife, no second family, temperate, self-control, respectable, good temper, good reputation, hospitable, he give, he love to share, he is able to teach, he know how to teach, not given to drunkenness, not drinking wine, not violent, not angry, he is gentle, not quarrelsome, not a fighter, not a lover of money, not to love money. He must manage his own family well. He must know how to care for his wife and children and see that his children obey him with the proper respect. It's all things we have to see. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? Verse 6, he must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He should not be a recent convert, because otherwise he will be proud and boastful and being conceited, and he will be under devil's judgment. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders. He have good reputation, the people know him with a good character, so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. Verse 8 speak about deacons. Deacons likewise are to be men worthy of respect. Deacons, they are responsible to administer the administrative aspect of church leadership. Sincere, not indulging in much wine and not pursuing dishonest gain, not have other purpose from serving. They must keep hold of the deep truth of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, and then if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. In the same way, their wives are to be women worthy of respect. We should observe their wife and their children, their family also, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. verse 12 and 13 from 1 Timothy chapter 3, a deacon must be the husband of but one wife. No multiple marriage in Christianity, and must manage his children and his household well. Those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. The church is a highly organized living structure composed of a human, and that is we, and also of divine, where God dwells among us in the Holy Spirit. God given His church with His word and gave big responsibility and task to the church leader and church authority so that His word will be preached effectively to all nations, to all the earth, and disciples will be made up, and therefore His blessing, His salvation will be ensured and given and passed to the nations around us and pass it to the next generations. As we end this part, we stop here and we'll continue in the next session. Let us now pray as you hear the message. God called you to be a responsible person so that God can entrust you with people. Because the Lord said, go and make disciples. Go and evangelize. Go and preach the good news. God wants to use you mightily to do His service. Kneel down and pray. Tell Him, Lord, I am willing. Use me, O God. Lord, I confess and I renounce the following sin, whatever sin that hinder you from being God's servant, renounce it right now. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke all work of devil in your life. Tell Him, Lord, I submit myself, I kneel down, I beat myself, Lord, I commit myself to serve you. Lord, use me mightily for your glory. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, give self-control, temperate, gift of the Holy Spirit to that sister or brother who is willing to serve you wholeheartedly, Lord. And I pray, O God, that your message that you send and hear by your people will bring you glory and honor. We thank you and we praise you, O God. Lord, take the message and raise up an army as many servants of yours, leaders, to serve you in your church. Expand your church, O God. Lord, bless us. Enlarge our territory. Let your hand be with us. And keep us from harm so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.